Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Conservative.
What I don't like about Washington is they're very nice to your face, and then they take a shiv or a machete and they stab it in your back. I'm a Wall Street guy, and I'm more of a front stabbing person, and I'd rather tell people directly how I feel about them.
Nobody talk about politics, like, don't say anything, you know.
A marriage that's been through it all.
She has filed for divorce over his naked political ambition.
These are the views of a couple in love, a couple with children, a couple with differing opinions and perspectives. A couple that survived.
He's kind of like an impetuous guy. In many ways, that's great. In some ways, it's tough when you're married.
What leads them back to each other? Communication, conversation, and a realistic outlook on the world we live in. Your hosts, Anthony and Deirdre Scaramucci. This is Mooch and the Missus.
Mooch, turn on your mic.
My mic is on.
Nice.
We okay. Got a legend in the house. Legend in the house. Number
me?
Five. Well, you're a legend.
In my
By the way, David, after I announce you, you should know that my wife is still fighting with me from last week's podcast. So
not last week.
If you get caught in the crossfire, I just feel bad. But number five, ladies and gentlemen.
The best number ever.
The Mets captain. My wife born on May 5. David Wright. David, thanks so much for joining Mooch and the Missus. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me. What a pleasure.
Too bad we can't have you in studio, but he's too far away.
I know. We're all the way across the country, but maybe next time I'm back east.
Okay.
Yeah,
we would
but
love
thanks
that.
For doing this, though.
David, how many kids you got now?
No problem. Two girls. Olivia is a little over two.
Yeah.
And Madison is 6 months old, so we're finally starting to get some sleep.
Yeah, you're turning the corner. I was just thinking that last night. I woke up at like 5 this morning to come to work, but I was thinking that was so nice. None of my children woke me up in the middle of the night last night. That's like a good thing
there
when you start.
Yeah, we had a good night last night also. Little Madison slept through the night for the second night in a row. So.
She's going to go for it now.
A lot of good things going this way, yes.
That's her Thanksgiving gift to you.
Is the older one ending up in your bed at night, David, with a foot in your mouth, or not yet?
No. That we have a strict
We violated that policy.
Yeah, Olivia will not be hopping in bed, but, you know, as much as I like, snuggling and hanging out with her, she can stay in her bed.
Yeah,
so I'm about to get in serious trouble on this podcast, but I got to tell you something, David. My daughter, who you have seen sing the national anthem at Citi Field on more than one occasion.
Killed it, by the way.
Say that again?
She killed it, by the way.
Thank you. She said, oh, my God, Dad.
Oh, yeah. She's
oh, my God, Dad.
This.
That was my first crush, so I don't want her to get in trouble with Mrs. Wright. But I got to tell you, Dad, when you took that picture of me after I sang with David, my heart was pounding. So when she listens to this podcast, she's going to annihilate me for bringing it up on the podcast.
Uh-huh.
But I just thought
I'm old, and we got a bunch of young, strapping, young players on the Mets, so I'm sure she's...
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I need. Thanks, David. Thanks. Thanks, David.
No, isn't it funny, though,
we got two daughters, man.
I know.
Yeah, that's called karma. When you get a daughter and then you get two, that's double on the karma.
Double karma.
Yep.
So what's life now, David? Tell our your fan base listening in on this podcast, what's life like now? What are you doing?
You know, it's strange because, I'm kind of doing what I would typically do. You know, it's still fairly early in the off season. I think, you start getting into baseball mode, I would say, probably sometime in between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And you really start thinking about, okay, I'm going to head down to Florida in a couple of weeks. Let's start mentally preparing yourself and physically preparing yourself for baseball. So it's kind of weird that, for me, the season's just kind of ended, and obviously we've received some great news with Jacob DeGrom winning the Cy Young. So, you know, baseball's just kind of heating up in that hot stove time of year. So it's strange to kind of be in a situation with me where, you know, about the time that I start thinking about, you know, getting myself ready to play next year, it's been great to be able to get into routine. To our 2-year-old just started preschool, so dropping her off every morning. And, our first day we dropped her off, and, you know, it was kind of tough, us leaving. She cried a little bit. But now we drop her off. We'd always say, you know, Olivia, have fun. You know, listen to your teacher. Now she tells me to have fun when I drop her off. And, you know, my wife's got her saying, you know, listen to your mom. Listen to mommy.
That's what's up.
Oh, man, they do that to you, man. Let me tell you. She's infused brainwashing, propaganda, bribery, and threatening to have the two boys that we created team up against me. Just so you know.
His wife is doing the same thing.
She's using all the weapons. I'm sure your wife's doing the same thing. She's probably
acting.
They
can go all mean girl on him at some
point. She's probably acting all goody two shoes to you right now, but she's lightsaber training with the two of them when you're not looking.
Exactly. She's discovered lollipops and popsicles.
100%.
And, you know, the bribery has begun.
Oh, there's no doubt. Bribery and threatening.
You can't survive without bribery.
Yeah, bribery and threatening are my two go-tos. After I read in Dr. Spock's book, Don't Bribe and Don't Threaten, I've been using that for 25 years. Okay, that's been my natural go-to. Okay,
not a lie. That's so true.
So we've got some listeners that tweeted in, so excited about you coming on. One of our fans / friends asking, David, any idea what your role is going to be with the Mets or in baseball going forward? Has anything come up? I haven't seen anything related to it. I was just wondering if you could comment on it.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I've made it very known that I'd like to stay involved. Obviously, I have an attachment and a love for the New York Mets and the fan base and the city that, I'd love to continue to be a part of and to support. Our new general manager, Brody, has reached out numerous times and, you know, was kind of interested to see what I was interested in doing. And, you know, I told him, obviously on a limited type role that I'd love to help him out in any way that I could. So, I do hope that there is, some sort of role for me, kind of on a part-time basis in the front office. But ultimately, that'll be up to the new general manager, who I think is going to do a tremendous job. And, like I said before, it's just I have a real deep love for this organization, the way they've treated me and my family. And I grew up, I said it in my press conference that I've been a Met for half my life, which is pretty amazing to think about. So hopefully that relationship continues and I can provide some value kind of in a different role moving forward.
Do you see announcing in your future? Do you see managing in your future? I'm not talking about today or tomorrow, but like 5, 8, 10 years from now.
Managing my daughter in softball or soccer.
Good answer.
I listened to you guys with Bobby V, and I'm sure Bobby would probably attest to this, that managing, that's a thankless job. It's kind of, you get questioned if you do this, you get questioned if you do that, and there's never really a right answer. You know, you can play it by the book and do everything you're supposed to, and you still, get questioned for everything. So managing's tough. I have a lot of respect for the managers that I've had, certainly, but that's not something I don't think interests me. And then broadcasting, I don't know. I don't think so. That could change, but for me, I think I'd really like to, do a little work behind the scenes to try to help the team and put together, a team that can win now and, can help Brody do something, down the line that can help sustain kind of a winning culture in New York.
Yeah, they need it. The Mets need it. He answered that kind of like, by the way, sorry, I'm a Yankee fan, but I love you, David. But
No worries. No worries. Nobody's perfect.
No.
Oh, finally, there's a male. It's a sausage party.
Right?
It's a sausage party.
Listen,
we finally have a male on the line taking a shot at Mrs.
Mooch. Oh, true.
She said, nobody's perfect.
True.
Baby, you know I think you're perfect, baby.
Yeah, right. Even though you're a Yankee fan,
I think you're perfect.
Like you answer when people
I'm
say,
"I'm working my way oh my back God. To you, babe."
Oh, oh my
and
God!
I don't
Can
know
I, wait,
how to
you
sing.
You just reminded me of David. Just bear with me for a second. I have to give this random tidbit. I was in the elevator coming up here this morning, and I was standing next to a guy who was probably like 28 years old. He had a first generation iPod, and when I and wow. he had it on so loud that I could hear what he was listening to. And he was listening to that song that you always sing. You know that song, "Hold On, I'm Coming," whatever that song is.
Hold on.
I'm like, what the hell is this kid listening? Yeah, that song.
Hold on.
Why would this guy have an iPod from like the freaking first time they ever made one listening to that song from
well,
the 1960s?
Well, that's because you didn't see Back to the Future. He's transported himself from that time. And he's
he was
in the
listening
elevator
to
with
something
you.
From the 1960s, and he was born in the 80s. It was
he
so weird.
He just wanted to see what Deirdre Scaramucci was wearing because she's making a fashion statement today with her ripped jeans, mm-hmm. and he was coming into the future to see
No,
it.
You guys don't think that's so, funny? It's so random. Anyway, David, I don't want to waste your time about that, but I just found it to be so funny.
So there's a question out here from Benny Papa 987.
Oh, that's the best question.
This is the best question. Okay, ready?
My David, question.
And just so
my
you know, we haven't prepared Mr. David Wright, captain of the New York Mets, for any of these questions, no. but this is a loaded question. Go ahead, Deirdre Scaramucci.
Yeah, this is making me a little nervous. Go ahead.
No, it's actually a slam on me and Anthony, which is hilarious. It says, my question,
nice.
Nobody's nice to us,
okay, good.
But that's all
okay.
good.
All right. Good.
We just pump each other up when we get home. We tell positive. So it says,
people hate listening to this podcast, but David, but go ahead.
My question, colon, why in the world would you be a guest on this podcast?
And the answer is, da-ding.
I feel bad for those poor sons of bitches. That's his answer.
This has been the highlight of my offseason so far.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Okay, WCBS, make sure you get that out on social media. David Wright's highlight.
Yes, I got up early this morning, dropping the daughter off at school, and couldn't wait. You know, the anticipation was killing me.
You were ready to go early, so I sort of believe you.
Well, what people don't know, which I'll share, is that David and I have a very close mutual friend, Doug Romano, who actually works at SkyBridge, and has been a close friend of David, and I think one of your roommates on the road was Rock, right? David Rocconelli, right?
Rocconelli, a Stanford guy who's also now out on the West Coast, and his fiance just passed the bar, so we went out to dinner the other night to celebrate his fiance.
Fantastic! So these are Stanford Italians, which are different from Long Island Italians. Let me tell you the difference, okay? In Stanford, it's like New Jersey; it's gym, tan, laundry. On Long Island, our mothers do our laundry, David. Okay,
right.
Just so you know. Okay, okay.
You know, I don't want to hear this because my wife is obsessed with. We have two kids, and we're both in our mid-30s, but she loves Jersey Shore, the show.
Right. Yeah.
So when you say gym tan laundry,
GTL. That's
of having
like
to sit through and watch those shows.
Oh my God! Is your wife
having
from the West
to sit
Coast,
through
David?
Is the operative word?
How did you end up on the West Coast?
We met. She went to school in Arizona, and we met out there. And then, she's from out here. So, I was always a big East Coast guy. You know, I always battled with my teammates as, the West Coast. No. You got to be on the East Coast. That's where it's at. You get the four seasons. This and that. The intensity level is so much higher. People on the West Coast just kind of sleepwalk. This and that. And I came out here to the South Bay here, and it's amazing.
You fell victim to the sunshine.
Yes.
I know.
It's like right now it's 67. It's so out here, it's 8 o'clock. So it's 67 degrees and sunny, and it's, I just don't know. I turned on the TV and I saw in the Northeast, they had a snowstorm the other day, and I'm thinking to myself, I think I made the right decision.
You did. And I'm so, so jealous. So,
we find California addictive. Our heart goes out to obviously the people that are suffering and the fires, but
yes, for sure.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are the consummate team player. And so, you know, I coach kids. I'm a big Barstool Sports guy where I go on their podcast and so forth. And so one of the big questions out here, David, is if you were giving kids advice on how to play well on a team or how to be a captain of a team, what would you say to those kids?
That's a great question. You know, I would say first and foremost, there's too many kids, in my opinion, that treat playing baseball like a job when they're a kid. You know, it should be fun. And there's too many parents, I think, that force their kids or, oh, I got the next number one pick. I got the next Mike Trout. I got the next Bryce Harper. You know, allow the kids to have fun. Play multiple sports. You know, do it for the love of the game and not just, you know, don't treat it like a job. And then once you're on a team, remember that it is a team. And I remember my dad growing up, and I was a pretty good youth player, and he wouldn't care one bit whether I got five hits or no hits or struck out five times. He obviously rooted for me. But the thing that bothered him the most and that I used to get in trouble for was when I struck out and would hang my head and not root my teammates on. That bothered him and that was the only time where I remember him pulling me, you know, out of the game and pulling me around the dugout and giving me a good stern talking to was, you know, when I would do something bad, strike out, make an error, and hang my head and pout and not root for the next guy. Mm-hmm. And that's always kind of stuck with me. And, you know, I've never been one to really be a rah-rah, you know, yell and scream type, you know, leader. I've always tried to lead by example. And I think those were the guys when I got called up to the Mets that I really tended to follow were the guys that led by example. And, you know, that was something that's kind of stuck with me where, you know, go out there and be the guy that does it and shows the example and not talks about doing it. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's the advice I would give.
Who's your best friend on the team? Who are you closest to?
Well, the best man at my wedding was Dave Racanello, the bullpen catcher. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say other than that, I've gotten really close with Jacob DeGrom. I think he is obviously a ridiculously good pitcher, but also he's turned himself into a great leader, a really good teammate. But, you know, I've got lifelong friends that I've gotten a chance to meet, you know, kind of through the different time periods of the Mets. You know, when I first got called up, you know, some of the older players, Cliff Floyd, Joe McEwing, Johnny Franco, those guys really took me under the wing. And it became, you know, kind of that next generation of Carlos Beltran and Carlos Delgado and Paul LaDuca. You know, those types of guys. And then all of a sudden I got put into that kind of leadership veteran role and I was starting to take some of these younger players under my wing. And it's kind of been cool to sit here and reminisce and think about the transition over the years of going from, you know, a young 21-year-old Virginia kid, you know, in New York for the first time playing for the New York Mets to all of a sudden, you know, fast forward 15 years. And now I'm that veteran guy trying to take some of these younger kids, you know, under my wing and kind of show them the ropes. It's been really neat to reminisce about that.
Yeah, it's kind of surreal. I think you've lived like every American kid's dream, you know, to go onto like a nostalgic team and be there for your entire career is pretty awesome, you know? I think it's amazing.
No question. I was a big Cal Ripken Jr. growing up in Virginia, a big Cal Ripken Jr. fan, and he did obviously had a, you know, much longer and better career than me, but you know, played for one team and was a Hall of Fame player for the Orioles, and I always looked up to that and, you know, wanted to do that for myself, and I got a chance to, not on that level, like I said, but to kind of, you know, walk in his shoes for a few years.
Yeah, I think most people would choose to have their career go that way, and I think that's it's definitely lucky, definitely a blessing. It's very cool for you. And you're still so young. Yes. You have so much ahead of you.
So what I don't feel so young.
You don't feel so young? Well, how's your stenosis?
Yeah, I feel young, but my body doesn't feel very young. My mind feels really young. And that's kind of, you know, the last couple of years, that's been the tricky part for me was my mind's telling me, you know, you can deal with it. You know, you can, go out there and grind through kind of the discomfort and the pain. And my body was just saying, no, you can't, you know. And that's kind of been the tricky part for me is that, you know, I always wanted it to be on my terms. And I always wanted it, you know, when I was a younger player, you know, to say, you know, I'll exit when I want to exit. And, you know, my body just wasn't cooperating.
You're saying something different.
After talking to the doctors, and the doctors say, you know, it's just not going to, you know, wishful thinking to think that it's going to feel any better. You know, I think that kind of hit home for me. And then looking forward, obviously, to the future with my two girls, you know, it was important for me to make a, you know, decision with the doctors, with the team, you know, and obviously with thinking of my family, you know, where I don't want to go out there and do anything that could cause any more problems.
Yeah. Well, that's a good sort of segue into a question I have for you. So I'm a mom, so I'm always thinking about this kid thing. Mm-hmm. So what do you think you learned in baseball that is sort of applicable or resonates with you as a dad and in raising your kids?
I would say teamwork for sure. And I would also say that...
what about like enjoying life, like you were saying before?
I think there's a lot of similarities between life and baseball. You know, I think that there's a lot of connections that you can make, you know, where you talk about selflessness. You know, there's a lot of times in baseball where you have to kind of take one for the team, per se, where it's not going to help your stats and it's not going to help you necessarily get that big contract that you're looking for, but it's what the team needs in that moment.
Yep.
And you need to do that. And it's kind of taking one on the chin a little bit. It's going to hurt your stats, but it's going to help the team win that game. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, there's some parallels between that and obviously raising children. And, you know, so for me
A ton. Life lessons in general. Yeah, I agree.
And being the captain, there's times where you have to be, you know, obviously friendly and buddy-buddy with some of the younger players, but there's times where you got to put your foot down and kind of be that stern, you know, they need a kind of a kick in the rear.
That's the hard part.
You got to be able to pull them aside and do that as well. And that's the same thing I'm learning with my girls, is that obviously not the 6-month-old, but the 2-year-old, you know, she's getting to that point now where she's, you know, got a little mind of her own. And obviously you want to be, you know, friendly, but at the same time, you have to kind of put your foot down and say, hey, you know, I'm your dad.
Yeah. It's hard though, right? Especially
much.
With girls, because they're going to just, I have two older brothers.
Heart.
Oh yeah. I totally mm-hmm. worked my dad over.
Well, you've been unbelievably generous with your time, David. We're going to, Deirdre and I are imposing ourselves on you and Mrs. Wright the next time we're out in California. Okay. You're going to have to sit through an Italian meal with the two of us. Okay.
Maybe
please,
we'll bring
Archie,
our son and
Archie,
they can all hang out.
Oh, yeah, we'll bring our son, so that after you threaten to introduce the Mets to my my beautiful daughter, I'm bringing my son now, my 4-year-old.
No, I mean, okay? the good guys on the team. You know, I would never, ever set up
great.
We have any bad
I'll make
guys,
sure she. I'll make
he's
sure,
walking it back.
I'll make
he's
sure she has a taser. Could you please call Amazon Prime and get the taser sent tomorrow?
Yeah.
But before we let you go, the fans, they love and respect you. God bless you. Okay, I thought your night, the David Wright night, was one of the most amazing nights in Mets history. And I saw your interview. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it that night, but I saw your interview on television with the guys when you got up into the booth with them. And, mm-hmm. I hope you could feel the love and the intensity, the emotion here in New York for the type of player you are, the type of man you are, the type of teammate. But before we let you go, I want, and it's a blink question, so I'm going to ask it, and I want you to just not even think about it. Just give me the answer. Why do you think they love and respect you so much, David?
I would like to think kind of the blue-collar attitude. I would like to think, you know, the loyalty both ways. You know, the loyalty that the fans have showed me from day one certainly has meant the world to me. And I'd like to think I've tried to reciprocate that loyalty as much as possible. So, and then I'll probably say most importantly, I feel like I'm a Mets fan deep down inside. You know, we've kind of grown up together in New York, where the fans have seen me make a lot of errors. They've seen a lot of strikeouts, but they've always kind of stuck with me and had my back. And, you know, I'll never be able to kind of put into words how much that's meant to me. That loyalty that they've shown me. So hopefully, you know, I've been able to reciprocate that as much as possible.
Well, we love you, man. The best of your family. And Mooch and the Misses are coming for you, pal. Okay?
All right, we're going to be out there. I'm going to hold you to that.
You're going to be stuck with us, man.
Dinner.
All right?
Alrighty.
All right,
have
God
a
bless,
great
man.
Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Enjoy it with your family.
Thank you,
right.
guys.
All right,
thanks,
you rock
David.
It. Thank you.
All right, thanks, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.